On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by international best-selling author Hemant Sunim, telling us what to do when things don't go your way.
When we are, you know, very young and have a first love, and the first love did not work out, we feel as though this is the end of the world. However, we learn that is not the case. We move on. We find some other people. We begin to see that when things don't go your way, maybe it's not the end.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a flag that today's podcast contains details of murders and violence that some people may find offensive. Today on the Indo Daily, Cornelius Price and his history of violence.
I would ask anyone that has information, that knows anything, please come forward. This man is gone. He can't touch you no more. Contact us, leave us have the bodies back, and let us give William and Anna a critical burial.
The voice you're hearing there is that of Helen Maughan, a mother whose son Willie, along with his pregnant girlfriend Anna, were brutally murdered in April 2015, and their bodies have never been found.
I'm putting an appeal out tonight on behalf of my son that went missing on the 14th of the 4th, 2015. My son was last heard on a phone at 2:25 on the same day in question. That's the last time my son was heard alive.
However, last weekend, the man believed to be responsible for these horrific deaths, notorious gangland figure Cornelius Price, died.
Mr. Price was a 41-year-old father of two from Gormanstown and Meath, heavily involved in organised crime here in this country, particularly in Drogheda, in that feud between two criminal gangs.
It's some justice at last for Helen and, indeed, Joe, Willie's father. But Cornelius Price's violent legacy lingers even in death. His reign of terror as leader of a criminal gang in Gormanstown, County Meath, so brutal, inhumane and widespread. On today's episode, we look back on Price's ruthless rampages, but we also have an exclusive with new audio of Joe Maughan, father of Willie, confronting Price over his son's murder.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's what I said today. The only way I got discussed with you, Joe, was all the guards coming down. All the guards coming all around the quarry.
Well, what did I say to you? Thinking, if that was your son.
But that wasn't Joe's fault.
No, Joe, what did you say to me? In fairness, yeah. I'd have done the same.
No, but you can come down. What I said. If you want to come down and get them boys, I said to you on the phone.
And I said, and you were straight up at me. You said I'd have done the same. If it was my son.
No, even when
that's all I'm saying.
I'm Siobhan Maguire, and joining me today is the man who captured this footage and closely reported on Price and the Drogheda feuds, Irish Independent special correspondent Paul Williams. Paul, thanks a million for coming in today. Now, it was you in the Irish Independent that broke this awful story of what happened to Willie Maughan and Anna Vardislan. And actually, you've brought in some really exclusive audio footage for us for the Indo Daily today. And that's basically when Joe Maughan, Willie's father, confronts Cornelius Price at his compound in Gormanstown, County Meath.
Yeah, it was quite an extraordinary situation. The context of it was that Joe Maughan, William's father, approached me in about midway through or half near the end of April of 2015. Now, William had been last seen on April the 14th, himself and Anna, and they disappeared in the space of an hour. And his wife was going to collect William that day up in Gormanstown. But so we ran the story in The Independent, and then myself and Joe decided we'd drive up to Gormanstown, to where Cornelius Price lived in this compound. And we arrived there. It was a very sunny day, I remember very well. And we talked to a few women, including his mother. And they
Cornelius Price's mother.
Yeah. And they started off offering all kinds of strange excuses, like he went off, he disappeared before. And literally they were telling lies straight to Joe's face about, and they all knew each other. And like Joe only knew them about 6 months, but they were all very on first name speaking terms with him. And they were telling him all these kind of stories. The man was heartbroken. And then Price arrived with another guy, and he's known in the traveling community as Naily Boy. And we had a camera with us, so we were filming and recording this. But he basically came up to the car to talk to us, and Joe, fair play to him, said to him, look, you know, what happened to my son? And then he started offering all kinds of, like, lies, basically lied through his teeth. And like, what was extraordinary about it was the way he could lie about this double murder, including a young girl who was pregnant at the time, who would have been Joe's grandchild as well, which adds to the tragedy of all of this. And the way he lied so casually was incredible. And one of the things you get from the audio, by the way, is, and apologies to our listeners, he talks, as in Cornelius Price talked at a mile a minute, as we'd say, down the country. He just rabbited on. He looked like a guy who was pumped up with steroids, a very sinister individual. And I'm not saying that just because of who he was. He just presented as that. And criminals presented different, some are more sinister looking than others or whatever. But he was really, and he seemed to be out of his head on something, like maybe coke or something like that. But he was also pumped up, and he looked like a guy who'd taken steroids. But he was really, really anxious that day to impress upon Joe that he was not involved in the disappearance of the two kids, William and Anna.
You're dealing with one of Ireland's most feared criminals. Now, people who talk about Cornelius Price and who talked about him long before his death, it was always quite fearful, in terror of this guy, because he was liable to go off at any minute.
He didn't really come to any kind of prominence, all right, until we started looking at him in 2015. You're quite right, Siobhan. Like, he was very, very well known in the criminal community. And as I heard the former chief superintendent up there, Christy Mangan, said on RT the other night, that he cast a dark shadow over a large part of Louth and County Meath. And there was no doubt he had built up, very little was known about his early life, but he was a criminal from all his life. He was a member of the Roma culture, and he ran with a lot of, other criminals in the travelling community here in Ireland. That was a very important point to make here, by the way, Siobhan, just to get it out of the way. He was, effectively a member of the travelling community, and all his associates, a lot of the heavier associates that he had, like the Maguires, were all members of the travelling community. Joe Mohan is a member of the travelling community. And this is an example of where the criminal element in that, as represented by this thug, Nailey Boy, as they called them, Cornelius Price, they terrorise and still terrorise members of their own community. And Joe Mohan is a hugely respected and decent man, hardworking man. His family are loved. He runs soccer teams for kids up in Talla. He drives a bus. You know, he is a model citizen, just to make that absolutely clear. And this, you know, people like Price, some people might use him to give travelling community a bad name. I just want to contextualise that for our listeners, that this guy was as much a source of terror in the travelling community as he was to anybody else.
And Willie and Anna, they were living at the compound at the time, were they, Paul, or had they left?
Well, William Mohan had a bit of a drug problem, and his father, you know, Joe would say to you, like, he doesn't understand how his son got mixed up, but he had a drug problem, that's what drew him there. Yes, they were living together in a caravan. This compound, or complex, it's a very strange looking place. There's bits of houses here and there's caravans there, and like, it's covered in scrap and muck, and it's filthy, and there's just, you can just see how it is. It's a citadel for organized crime. It's been used to hide guns, drugs. It's from here that he ran probably one of the biggest regional drug gangs in the country. So they were living in that compound in a caravan. What we know is that he wanted out. William Mohan wanted out of this environment that he was in, and he had contacted his mother, Helen, and Helen was on her way to collect him. And on between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock on April the 14th, 2015, these two kids disappeared. They'd arranged to meet the moment she was on the phone to them. And as she was on the way up, there was a call on her phone, and one of her sons answered the phone in the car and could hear heavy breathing. And it was Anna's phone was ringing, the mother's phone. And she was at Dublin Airport on her way to Gormanstown. And literally in the space, the last known contact from their phones was at 3 minutes to 3 o'clock. and it disappeared then. And since that moment, there's never been any sign of them. Interestingly, when we were investigating that at the time and we went up to the prices, one of the things I asked them about was, at the same time as William and Anna disappeared, there was a massive fire in the compound, like thick black smoke billowing out. Now, it wasn't unusual because they were always burning stuff and taking in wire, like they didn't care very much about the environment. But they tried to fluff that off. The feeling is among some that it's quite possible that the bodies were in that fire at that time.
And so obviously this week now, Paul, Joe and Helen Maughan feel like they've got some justice with the passing of Cornelius Price. He died in a Welsh hospital. He'd suffered some kind of brain hemorrhage. We know that he kind of came into public psyche in 2013 when he basically ran into a Garda in Balbriggan.
And that's when he first comes to public attention, and then he ends up in prison for that. But he was running a very major drug operation with the Maguires, and you saw that horrible feud. He was in the middle of that feud in Drogheda and young King Mulready Woods.
Yeah, really violent feud.
Well, like with Robbie Lawler, you know, who was involved in the murder and mutilation of that 17-year-old boy. That was one of the most horrific crimes in 40 years in crime in this country.
Keane is a 17-year-old juvenile. He disappeared on Sunday, the 12th of January, and parts of his remains have now been discovered. This is a brutal, savage attack on a child, and it's completely unacceptable in any normal democratic society. The level of violence is shocking, and the investigation into the murder of Keane is being coordinated from Drogheda Garda Station.
A lot of people would say, by the way, and I, there's such a thing as karma. I was just talking to Joe before we sat down here today, and like he talks quite openly about the fact that this is, you know, he hopes he's in the lowest part and the deepest hole of hell, that he had inflicted so much misery on so many lives, and in a way he got what he deserved. But at the same time, for the families, those two bodies have been disposed of. Probably burned. So it's probably be hard to find them maybe, but they want, and of course they deserve, some kind of closure because of this horrific crime. And in a way, Price took that secret with him to the grave.
And Price is linked to at least four murders in Ireland. He's a prime suspect in the 2014 murder of Benny Whitehouse, a traveller man who was actually murdered while dropping his child off at school.
Yeah, Benny Whitehouse would be, they were involved in a row over drugs. It's all to do with organised crime. And yes, they shot him dead in the street. It was a particularly gruesome murder and very sort of upfront and very brazen murder. You know, they walked up to him and shot him, as you say, outside the schoolhouse. But there are different estimates on the number of people he was involved in murdering. There's at least four murders down to him. In fact, Anna Vardisland, if you look at her, she was pregnant. That's three people were murdered
shocking.
That day.
Brutal.
And then you've Whitehouse, then you had Lawler. The other thing, by the way, as well, he was part of a network on a big player, one of his partners in that network were the McCarthy Dundons in Limerick, who are from a traveller background. And we know who the McCarthy Dundons are. They were dubbed Murder Incorporated because of, and they were responsible for some of the most horrific crimes in gangland history, including the murder of Roy Collins, an innocent man, and Shane Gagan, another innocent man. Like, they brought Limerick to its knees. There was evidence that when Robbie Lawler, who was another really nasty, twisted piece of work, he was responsible, to say, about the murder of that young lad and the dismemberment of his body. But he was murdered by the members of the Dundon family were involved, and as was Price and other associates. So that was another murder that was added to that list.
That's right, Paul. Lawler was shot dead in Belfast in April 2020. And then shortly afterwards, we saw a video posted by Price basically celebrating Lawler's demise.
It seems to Robbie Lawler, boys, rest in peace. He's not even worth saying rest in peace, but fair play to him. There you go.
And here you had a situation as well where you had one way out there, top tier, brutal animal, for want of a better description, celebrating the untimely death of another brutal animal at the higher level of in the hierarchy of horror, so to speak. And he would have there was no reason why to cover that up because he wasn't hands on. And so they were celebrating quite open. And that's what they do. And they go around and that's where WhatsApp has become sort of an essential sort of communications tool for the criminal fraternity, as we see all the time. They're celebrating people's deaths and all of that. But so Price didn't make any secret of that. But then he did leave. He left the country not long after Keane Mulready Wood's murder. And then, of course, like, remember, again, with networks, he had a big network of people in the travelling community based in UK. And, of course, what's he do? Him and the Dunlans get involved in blackmail and extortion, where they were trying to extort money from other criminals. And he was arrested. Came under surveillance, was arrested. And Gardaí were involved in helping build up a case against these guys because the British police were aware, this is a serious player we have here. It's a mass murderer. And they caught him. And then in the meantime, he got sick and he's been very, very critically ill and went into a coma and died a slow and painful death.
Mr. Price had moved to the UK in 2020 following the death of Keane Mulready Woods. And in the UK, he had been arrested and charged with kidnapping and blackmail. That trial due to start in November alongside a number of other individuals who were also charged. But he was diagnosed in late 2021 with a brain condition, hospitalised in Wales, and his condition had deteriorated over the last number of weeks and months, resulting in his death.
There's some very bizarre theories circulating at the moment, Paul, that because Price was such an unpopular guy within the traveller community and indeed the wider organised crime network in the UK and Ireland, was that he had been potentially poisoned given the type of brain problems he had then suffered. But there's also other theories that because he spent quite a lot of time in various prisons, got into quite a lot of trouble there, including one where I think he was hit repeatedly on the head with a dumbbell, that's the reason why there was this legacy of a brain problem.
Well, you know, as I said to you, when I met him that time, he was very clearly a guy. He was rabbiting on, as I say, like a machine gun talking. The words were coming up blah, 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 like that. And it struck me as a guy who was on coke, but he was also looked like he was pumped up on steroids. Everything about him was like just awful. I can't articulate it any more than that. But people would say, so what? He picked up something from his life of crime. He got what he deserved. In fact, a lot of people would say he didn't get what he deserved. It would have been much more just if the justice would have been done if he was caught and put in prison for the rest of his life.
But I guess what I can't get my head around, because I certainly wouldn't be able to do the kind of reporting and investigations you do. I mean, you stood beside him while Joe Moan spoke to him. Like, you were there. You were right beside this man who's notoriously dangerous. I mean, were you not for one second a little bit scared?
No, I wasn't. But I tell you who was. The poor lad we brought with the camera. I think he was very worried because these are two big, heavy dudes. But you see, the minute he was very rattled by Joe being there. So we didn't have a worry. And like, he tried to ignore, and I think I say on the tape to him or on the audio that, you know, we're just here to publicize in this story because Joe here is looking for his son and his girlfriend. So he was trying to placate Joe and he was making up all these kind of excuses as we can hear. As to why, an explanation as to why William wasn't there and that why William wasn't murdered and why he was somewhere else. But it was all nonsense.
Do you see that CCTV? Is that working, lads? That would solve an awful lot of it.
That time when Sean and them was in the trailer, with Jim and them down, they wanted to kill William in the trailer and said, my mum said, Willie wasn't in there because he went back down in the flat with Amy. But my mum said, if you get out there and think the two or three is going to look on Willie in that yard and there's going to be this and that, and the other fellas Cliff saying, oh, well, I'm taking his trailer. So I'm breaking no trail, you're doing nothing. So I'm going to go, I'm going to kill Benny in that shed. Oh, you think I wouldn't let no harm come to William, though?
The three of them was waiting for him. I said,
but that's what I was saying, Joe. Anytime William left this yard, he always had that young woman.
And it's not just audio footage. You have some incredible video footage that clearly shows Price and Joey deep in this discussion. Joey simply wanting to find out answers as to what happened to his son and his son's partner. And that is going up on independent.ie as well, which people can take a look at. But Paul, it was obviously a very important thing for Joe to be able to have that confrontation with Bryce.
No, but Joe, you're the same as us. Yeah. It's no. not if they're old fellas in house and things. But
I understand what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. If you thought this now, you could walk down the next walk in.
Listen to me. We're no different than anybody else.
I know that, yeah.
And we treat, and the way I treat my business is the way people treat it. Yeah. I don't do it a culture of a family. I do it the way it's supposed to be done. I have to look for my son.
No, I can understand
that. And that's the way I do my business.
If I hear anything, Joe, I'll ring you, same as only. I'll ring only them this and that, you know that way.
It was, and unfortunately at the time, because he was facing charges and all that, we couldn't actually run the story at the time. We couldn't name him, and we couldn't run the video. And that was the whole purpose. The purpose was, let's get some video footage, because, you know, a recording. Because once they say something and it's recorded, they can't unsay it. And unfortunately, it is laying in a drawer in my desk for the past 8 years. And it's a great that we can actually take it out now and actually shared with the public. We couldn't before because of the laws of the land and all that nonsense. But anyway, for Joe Mohan and his wife Helen and for their family, there is a little bit of closure here, but not a lot. The truth is, Siobhan, to put it bluntly, the world is a better place today because Cornelius Price is no longer on this planet.
And my thanks to Paul Williams for joining me today. I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by myself, researched by Paul Hyland, recorded by Gavin Hennessy, with sound by John Smith. Archive clips from RTE, Virgin Media News, exclusive audio footage from Paul Williams, and independent.ie. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.